Let's just pray, shall we? Father, we just thank you for your presence. Thank you for the word of the Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we're here to hear from you. And Lord, we just pray that our hearts will be good ground. We pray our ears will be open to you. We just pray, Lord, as we receive your word, that it will produce fruit in our lives. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you've got a mobile phone, could you make sure it's on mute? Sometimes we forget to do that, so if you could. And let's really stay focused on the word. I speak for an average of, how long do I speak for? Anybody ever time me? 2 to 3 hours? Yeah. I speak for an average of about 27 minutes, thereabouts, 30 minutes. Sometimes I go over 30 minutes, but thereabouts, so you could say about 30 minutes or so. But we just want to really focus on God's Word and be blessed in Jesus' name. I think just about everybody knows, if you've been coming to Real Life Church since February, you'll know that we have had a focus on the book of... Absolutely. And just the first... 8 chapters, yeah. And of course, if you have never heard of the book of Romans, that's found in the Bible. And that's found in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. I just want to say this, and I guess you all understand this. I've only got just a few minutes to speak. How can you speak just for 30 minutes and on a chapter from the book of Romans and cover everything? I don't know if anybody's picked it up, but I've only just been selecting bits out of them. So we've just been actually skimming over the surface of the great truths found in the book of Romans. So I guess what I'm saying with that is I just encourage you all to read Romans. I know a lot of you already have. But even dig into the book of Romans yourself. Study it yourself and dig out the truths that we haven't been able to cover, and you'll be blessed. Up until today, we've largely been looking at how we can be forgiven of our sins. We've spoken a lot about that. That's been mentioned this morning in the songs as well. And we've been looking at how we can be forgiven of our sins, because we know everybody is sinners. But we've looked at how you can be forgiven of your sins and how you come into right standing with Almighty God. And we've looked at that because that's actually the primary subject of the first 7 chapters of the book of Romans. And we've discovered that the book of Romans makes it clear that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. And we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We know that. And also, Romans makes it clear that the consequences for falling short of God's standards are catastrophic. I don't know if you can remember any of the first sermons we did on this, but we spoke about that. But also, we thank God that the book of Romans also has shown us that the way to be forgiven, the way to gain right standing with God is through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm just recapping. Everybody, we all know this. I'm just reminding you of these things. However, Romans chapter 8 is considered by many Bible scholars to be the pinnacle chapter of the entire New Testament. Some say even the whole Bible. If you were to take the whole Bible, let's say the New Testament, you say, which is the best chapter, which I guess is a bit of a silly question really, but what is the best chapter out of the whole of the New Testament? People would say it's Romans chapter 8. And that's because over its 39 verses, it goes beyond talking about sin and forgiveness. It's been talking about those already. But what it does, it gives us a glimpse of who the followers of Jesus Christ have become since they first believed. So this is what we're going to do for a couple of weeks. And I don't know how many weeks, maybe 3, I don't know, don't hold me to this. But I thought for a couple of more weeks, I thought we would linger in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans and enjoy looking at who we have become since we become followers of Jesus Christ. I thought we could just hang around. Who wants to hang around with Romans chapter 8? Let's hang around with Romans chapter 8 for a couple of weeks so that we can go just a little deeper than we normally do and look at what the Lord has done for us and what he's given to us. So who's ready for that kind of end to the series? So we're just going to kick that off today. And Father, I just pray, Lord, right now, Lord, you give us understanding of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you ready? This is the message proper. And you're all ready? You going to pay attention? You know what I like about Rochelle? Hey, I'd be here all day telling you what I like about Rochelle. But what Rochelle always does, she always takes notes. Always, even when it's me. And I just encourage you, you might find that a useful thing to do for yourself, to take notes. You know, not to take notes of everything, but there might be something there you go, oh, I want to catch that thought, and you write it down. Who knows that you can hear a sermon, but sometimes you have the Holy Spirit preaching a parallel sermon as the Word of God's being preached, you know. Yeah. But on the day when you repented of your sins, I'm going to presume everybody's done that this morning. And when you believe the good news of about Jesus Christ, God declared you right with Him. That was a great day. And God gave you a gift, many gifts, but He gave you the gift of salvation. Anybody got the gift of salvation? Yeah. Well, if you're going to get into heaven, you need that gift of salvation. And you didn't earn salvation. You believed and God graciously bestowed salvation as a gift to you. And the salvation that God gave to you is profound. It's a profound destiny-changing gift. Once you were lost, but now you're found because of salvation. It's a gift. You believed in Jesus. It's a destiny-changing gift. But also, it's a gift that opens the door to the other gifts that God has provided for you. And God has provided many gifts for you. Amen. God, in His grace and mercy, has provided treasures, other treasures for you because you believe the good news about Jesus. God has given you many things that are wonderful and delightful. And I just pray, that God will open your eyes so that you could see how truly rich you are. Instead of whinging all the time, maybe we need to talk about how blessed we are, how rich we are. And I pray God will open your eyes so you can see how truly rich you are since you chose to follow Jesus Christ. Now, some of these divine gifts are accessible today. God's given you gifts that are accessible in this life, while He's given you others that are reserved for eternity. And then there's other gifts that are a little bit of both, accessible in a part way, and the full part of the gift comes in eternity. And lots of these gifts that God has given to us are wonderfully mysterious. Mysterious. And sometimes God's ways and God's gifts are difficult to intellectually comprehend. For example, oh, by the way, who thinks that God is mysterious? You know, God is very mysterious in a good way. Very, very. The Bible uses the word mystery on a couple of occasions. God is very mysterious. For example, have you ever tried to figure out how God can be one God? You know where I'm going with this. And yet reveal Himself as three separate personalities. God the Holy Spirit. Have you ever tried to figure that out? When I was younger, I had it all figured out. I really thought I did. How stupid. Oh man, I had most everything. I had the whole of life figured out when I was younger. When I was younger, I had all the analogies lined up in order to explain the Trinity of God, you know. I had the egg analogy. We all know the egg analogy, the egg, you know, with the shell, with the white bit, whatever that's called, and the yolk, you know, the three in one. That's God. Then I had the water analogy, where water can be ice, liquid, and steam, but it's still water. How clever is that? Three in one, hey. Aren't I clever? And today, our analogies, you know, there's complex analogies. You know, people try to use quantum physics to explain God. But I've actually given up and realized I don't know anything. I don't know much about life these days either. But I've given up on all these analogies because God cannot possibly be explained. That's my conclusion. God is God and that's it. He's in a class all on His own and He defies explanation. And He answers to no one. And He's too glorious for my little brain to comprehend. Who's with me? God's God. That's good enough for me, you know. So over time, I've become very comfortable. Actually, I enjoy the mysteries of God. I think it's good. I feel secure in that, actually. And so I've become very comfortable with the gifts that God's given as though they're mysterious. And today, what I want to do, just very briefly, is just present to you two of those mysterious gifts. Do you want to know what they are? Do you want to know what the two mysterious gifts are? Not just two. I'm going to share two. There's a lot more mysterious gifts that God's given to you that we find in Romans chapter 8. And I'm calling these gifts mysterious because they're awesome. Don't fully understand them. We just believe. And these gifts are undeserving. Amen? So the first mysterious gift is the Holy Spirit Himself. Wow. What a gift. God put the Holy Spirit within you when you became born again. Thankfully, God did not leave you all by yourself in this evil world, wicked world, when you decided to follow Jesus. He sent you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 11, because that's our primary passage, is Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, lives in me. Romans 8, verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. That passage, that verse can actually, it should be written around the other way. All children of God are led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8, verse 15, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit. Absolutely. Romans 8, 16 declares, for His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. It's all there. Romans chapter 8 is clear. God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus repeatedly promised the disciples that He would later send the Holy Spirit to them. He was going to heaven, and the Holy Spirit was coming down from heaven. Jesus said to the disciples in John 14, He said, I will ask the Father to send you another who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. Amen. However, among Christians today, in particular, there's a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit. Some people even get nervous when the pastor starts talking about the Holy Spirit, especially if he's a Pentecostal pastor. I happen to be a Pentecostal pastor. And some Christians get worried that the pastor might start getting carried away. But not a real life church. We don't care. Amen. Let's get carried away. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Some people think that the Holy Spirit only makes you, you know, they think Holy Spirit, and then they go like this. Oh, He makes you speak in tongues. Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And so they say, the Holy Spirit makes you speak in tongues, and He seems to make you a little bit excited as well. Well, I actually think we could do with getting a little bit excited. And I think we could do with speaking in tongues too. Amen? Amen? You know? But I want to ask you a question. And here's a question about the Holy Spirit. When did the promised Holy Spirit first come to the disciples? Don't shout it out if you know the answer. Just keep it in your mind. I'm the one preaching right now, so don't ruin it, you know. When did the promised Holy Spirit first come to the disciples? Well, most in this room, probably, maybe, you would say, well, in Acts chapter 2, of course. And the reason why we would say that is because many of us understand the significance of the outpouring of the promised Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Very significant. And that was when the disciples were baptized in holy power and they did speak in tongues. And we absolutely need the power of the Holy Spirit today and the gift of tongues, absolutely. You're wondering right now where I'm going with this, aren't you? However, the thing is that some Christians feel that they do not have the Holy Spirit because they've never spoken in tongues. Some have even said to me that they feel like they're second rate. But that's just not true. That's simply not true, because when you think that, no Christian is second rate. If you think you're second rate, that's the enemy lying again to you, because God does not treat His people as second rate. In fact, many Christians are not aware of a wonderful verse about the Holy Spirit that's actually found in John chapter 20. Jesus had been resurrected. He was on the cusp of ascending to heaven, returning to the Father. And this event in John chapter 20 was maybe 2 or 3 weeks before Acts chapter 2. Everything had been done by Jesus. Jesus to ascension to heaven was just about to happen. And so Jesus appeared to His disciples once again. And in John chapter 20, that you've got on your screens, it says, Jesus, then He breathed on them and said, Ladies and gentlemen, that was the moment when the disciples got born again. This was a glorious moment when God the Holy Spirit first moved into their lives. And salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit in your heart and the life of every believer. Acts chapter 2 was not when the disciples got born again. That was when they were filled with divine power from on high that comes from the Holy Spirit, yes, but that's different to being born again. When a person believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, the holy breath of God is breathed upon them immediately. And the Holy Spirit takes up residence within the heart of the new believer and they become a new creation. That can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, then the Holy Spirit of God lives within you. You're not second rate. Very important to remember this. Your body is a habitat of the Holy Spirit like every other believer. And the Holy Spirit has not come for a ride. He's not come to be a passive passenger in your life. He's not come to be pushed to the back of your life where, oh, he's forgotten. No, the Holy Spirit has actually come into your life to draw alongside you so that you will not be defeated by your enemies, which include your own temptations that Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 7. And he's come alongside you so you won't be defeated by the spirit of this fallen world. The Holy Spirit has also come to have the throne of your heart. Thank God for that, because we're doing a lousy job ourselves. Your heart is designed for the Holy Spirit. Victory is not by might, nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And there are divine Holy Spirit capacities within you that you might even, perhaps you never knew you had, since you repented and believed, and these capacities enable you to overcome and succeed in life no matter what obstacles you face. You actually have the ability from the Holy Spirit to draw upon the strength that He gives to you. He that waits upon the Lord shall. That's a work of the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen. But when you're not aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, then you're not going to be walking hand in hand with Him. You're going to be trying to do everything from your own strength and your own abilities and your own intellect. And then you're going to struggle and you're going to become discouraged with your Christian walk as you get smashed by your own failures and smashed by the spirit of the world. But Jesus said this. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And today I'm reminding you of the glorious truth that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise God, the Holy Spirit is within you. I'll say it again. The Holy Spirit is within you. If you don't remember anything else, the Holy Spirit is within you. And He doesn't come and go. He doesn't say, "Oh, I've got to go shopping. I'll be back later." He doesn't do that. God said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." How does He do that? God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who will never leave you or forsake you. He's in your life to stay. Let Him have the throne of your heart today. And He's ready to walk with you through life and make your life count and also make you fruitful. Romans chapter 8 verse 14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are absolutely children of God." God's children are led by the Spirit of God. They're not pushed. They're not driven. God, the Holy Spirit, gently leads His children through the circumstances of life to victory. Amen? So I just want to propose, because I want to go on to the next gift. So I reckon it's time to intentionally acquaint yourself with God, the Holy Spirit, today. Come on, come on. You know, in fact, I think it's time for us all to reacquaint ourselves with the Holy Spirit of God. Question, do you know Him? Do you know the Holy Spirit? How do you acquaint yourself with the Holy Spirit? Well, you acquaint yourself with Him by firstly and daily acknowledging Him and His presence in your life and welcoming Him to the throne of your heart. I find I have to do that every single day because I've got a rebellious nature. We know what that's called, the sinful nature. He keeps wanting to have the throne of my heart. When I wake up in the morning, I say, "Holy Spirit, You've got the throne of my heart today. I remember you, I acknowledge you. You know, scripture in Proverbs 3, you know, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, acknowledge him in all your ways. Who are we acknowledging? We're acknowledging God, the Holy Spirit. I acknowledge you in my ways today. Secondly, you acquaint yourself with the Holy Spirit through the Bible. You know, we had that picture up, Bible, read this. And the Holy Spirit's work is just splashed upon the pages of Scripture, especially in the New Testament. And so read about what he does, and you'll see that the Holy Spirit always works with the Word of God, and you will see that the Holy Spirit always lifts up the name of Jesus. One of the ways you can discern an evil spirit is an evil spirit will never lift up the mighty name of Jesus. But the Holy Spirit always wants to lift up the name of Jesus. Thirdly, you acquaint yourself with the Holy Spirit by making time to listen to him. Speak to your heart. When was the last time you sat still and actually pulled the plugs out of your ears, earphones out of your ears? Get rid of the noise. When was the last time you sat down and said, Lord, just for a few moments, I'm going to quiet myself and listen to you speak to me today? You've got to pull the earphones out and you've got to train yourself to listen with your heart. And then you'll hear God, the Holy Spirit. He will whisper to your heart the words that you need to hear. He will whisper wisdom to you. He will whisper direction. He will whisper healing. He will whisper strength. He will whisper holiness. He will lead you from strength to strength and glory to glory and victory to victory. When you don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit knows what you need to do. What a great gift. What a great gift. What a great gift. Father, Lord, Father, we need you. Lord, we want to take for granted the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, forgive us for ignoring the great gift of the Holy Spirit. But at Real Life Church today, we decide we're not going to ignore the Holy Spirit anymore because the Holy Spirit is within us. Amen? Amen? The second mysterious gift, so that's the first gift. The second mysterious gift I wanted just to draw your attention to is a great gift of adoption. Amazing gift and a mysterious gift I actually can't get my head around. It's a strange title, isn't it, for a gift, the gift of adoption. But Romans chapter 8 verses 15 to 16 said, instead you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children, and now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are children, we are his heirs. And in fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. Well, we've established that the gift of salvation is overwhelming. That God would save lost sinners like me, like you, is amazing grace. That's the only phrase you can use to express how you feel about it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a. But this is the thing, this is where I just can't get my head around it, but I love it, is God's gone further. God's adopted you and me as his children. You were once far away from God, then one day you believed the good news of Jesus, and you gained right standing with God because of your faith, but that just was not good enough for Almighty God. He's also drawn you into relationship with him. Why? Why? He's big, you're small, I'm tiny. Why? Amazing grace. So not only have you been given right standing with Almighty God, but you've also been brought into his family. You will note if you look at the screens, I've marked them in yellow deliberately, you will note that the word children is used in this passage on your TV screens. This is from the NLT version. A lot of modern versions do this. It says we're God's children. It's actually not quite correct. The original Greek version of the Bible does not say children. This is so important that we understand that. It says sons, son, or sons instead. And it is true that Christians, that we're all sons and daughters of the living God. Everybody understand that? But in this passage, the original Greek version of Romans deliberately only uses the word sons or son. It does not mention the word daughter. So we must ask the question, what is going on? Is this passage sexist? God forbid. Well, actually, it's not sexist at all. It's actually very much the opposite. It's actually the complete opposite. In the ancient world culture, when the Bible was written, and that Paul lived in when he wrote the book of Romans, the oldest son in particular was a primary inheritor of his father's estate. The oldest son got double the inheritance, but the poor daughters got nothing. That's sexist. But as far as God is concerned, he declares that men and women who are followers of Jesus are together sons of God. We are equal in his sight. I'm not being politically correct or anything else like that. I'm just telling you what the Word of God is saying. It's not about position. It's not about relation. Oh, sorry, it's about position. It's about your relationship. It's not about your gender. God has shifted you, whether you are male or female, from being a sinner right through to divine sonship. God has adopted us all into his family and declared us all to be his sons. Could somebody say amen? Was that clear? Praise God. I feel like I put a lot of energy into this message today. Let's have some energy out there. Amen, amen. This is a quote. These are not my words. Just look, this is F.F. Bruce, a theologian. He was saying that in the Roman world of the first century, it's when Romans was written, an adopted son was a son deliberately chosen by his adoptive father to perpetuate his name and inherit his estate. He was not inferior in status to a son born in the ordinary course of nature. Wow. And under Roman adoption, the life and the standard of the adopted child changed completely. The adopted son lost all rights in his old family and gained all new rights in his new family. The old life of the adopted son was completely wiped out, with all debts being cancelled, with nothing from his past counting against him anymore. Wow, come on. Wow. So, you know where we're headed with this? In the same way, God has sought you out to perpetuate his name and inherit his estate. And nothing in your past counts against you anymore. You are an adopted son of God. You belong to God's family. That means we're related. You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Amen. But wait. I feel like that salesman on Channel 10 with those info ads. But wait, there's more to this gift. God takes this adoption gift even further. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 17 on the screen. I'll just emphasize the highlight a bit. It says, since we are his sons, we are his heirs. Not heirs, but heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. Wow. Not only has God adopted us, but he's made us heirs together with Jesus Christ. And this is what starts to mess with my head a little bit. The King James Version says we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Therefore, that means all the vast riches of God that belongs to Jesus Christ is now to be shared between all the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We, along with Jesus, are the primary inheritors of the riches of God. Amen? But wait, there's even more to this gift of adoption. Referring to our relationship with God, Romans 8:15b says, now we call him Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Actually, Abba is Aramaic. And the word father comes from the Greek. They've actually joined an Aramaic word with a Greek word there, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic term of endearment. It's like a young child in our culture calling their father Dada. Dada. Abba. Dada. Dada. I'm sure our boys said Dada before Mama. I'm just joking. I don't know what they said. I think they said mine first, actually. Mine. No one mine might have been the first words. But a father, come on, every dad in this place, you love to hear your young child when they go, Dada. And you know they're speaking to you. Interestingly, you might not know this, but only one other person in Scripture ever called God Abba Father. Only one other person ever called God Abba Father. And you all know who that was. That was Jesus Christ. He was the only person who ever called God Abba Father. Others would call, there were others who called God Father, but never Abba, Dada, Abba Father. So not only has God given you the gift of salvation, but God's also adopted you into his family, where you have the same relationship with the Father as Jesus Christ has. You can call God Abba, Father. That's a profound mystery. In the book of Hebrews, it takes it even further, where we are called the brothers of Jesus. That's the Bible. So yes, God is Almighty God, the creator of the universe. He should be revered and respected. But to those who are born again, he is our Father. He is our Abba Father. So you are a son and inheritor of Almighty God. Come on, you should about jump on your seats, amen. This is who you are. And here's a thought. Perhaps if you stop seeing yourself as a hopeless sinner, and saw yourself as God has made you, a son of God, then perhaps you would sin less and succeed more. Yeah. You know, how do you see yourself, you know? Okay, I'm just finishing this off. Last week, I emphasized in the message, if you were here last week, I actually spoke from Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So I spoke about, I emphasized how when God pronounced condemnation and judgment upon the world during the days of old Noah, remember old Noah? No one felt any different. Everything still remained the same. God had pronounced judgment, but life still continued. It remained the same for many years. The sun rose, the sun set, everything continued. People went to work, people went to school, people got married, all that. Everything continued until the judgment rains finally came many decades later. Consequently, in the time of Noah, many people thought judgment wasn't coming because there was no evidence. Everything looked the same. Life continued, but judgment did come. And what I want to do is use that same, very briefly, use that same scenario and apply it to your life and my life as followers of Jesus. You are a son of God. I am a son of God. Heaven knows your name. God declares you a joint heir with Jesus Christ. God has declared that. God has spoken his word over your life. We've read it this morning. And yet, the truth is, you still feel pretty much the same as you always did. You still feel the same. And you've got to get up tomorrow. You got to take the kids to school. You got to go to work, whatever it is you do. Life will continue for you, including all the mundane aspects to your activities. Still got to wash the dishes. You know, you still got to have a shower. You know what I mean? Everything continues. You still have issues and you have challenges. You will continue to have ups and downs. Nothing feels for you like it's changed, even though God has spoken adoption over you. Doesn't feel like it's changed, but the truth is, for you, everything has changed. You once were lost, and now you are a son of God. You were a sinner, now you are a saint. So my point is, get ready. Because heaven, reward, blessing, inheritance, favor, and the presence of God are rushing your way. Are you ready, sons of God? You might not feel adopted by God today, but you are. You is. You might not be able to fully access your vast inheritance yet, but you soon will. The clock is ticking. The day is coming. And nothing can stop that final day when Jesus returns so that you can step into the full inheritance of the sons of God. In conclusion, thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Today, we deliberately, intentionally choose to make room for the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. Anybody with me on that? And thank God for the gift of adoption. Today, we choose to see ourselves like God sees us. We see ourselves as mighty sons of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's stand, everybody. Can we, and the musicians come up, but everybody just stand, and can we just take just a few moments? Everybody, can we just say thank you, Jesus? Come on, let's thank God for the gifts. Come on, thank him for the Holy Spirit. Come on, right across this congregation before you go home. Come on, say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Abba, Father. Thank you for adopting us, Lord. Thank you for adopting us. Thank you for making us heirs with Jesus. Come on. Let's thank the Lord today. Somebody in the house, let's thank the Lord today. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah.